We're excited that you're here. I said that a moment ago, and I'm just excited about the message today. Tommy's going through the series, the book of 1 Corinthians. He ended on chapter 9 last week. I'm not going to pick up on the same series. I am going to talk out of chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians. If you want to turn your word there, your Bible there, your phone, we're going to get into it in a few minutes. Tommy's going to do more of a detailed verse by verse. I'm only going to pick up a couple of verses, and I'm going to talk about a subject that's not even really mentioned in this chapter. But I believe it gives us instructions how we could attain a thing called champions or a championship. Patty and I were playing on the way down here. We brought two of our grandkids. We brought Riley and Chloe to church with this morning early. And it's boring, right? Going down 75, it's boring unless we're on the Harley and we're cutting in and out of traffic, but we're in the car with grandkids and we're doing the speed limit. And so we played the alphabet game. Anybody ever played the alphabet game?
Yeah.
Yeah, come on. Yeah, that's it, three of you. Come on, you guys. Yeah, all right, 4 or 5, I'm feeling better. But anyway, we're playing, and we always play for championships. If we're playing cards at home, championship for Woodstock, championship for Cherokee County, North Georgia. We always play for championships. And today, Patty teamed up with the girls, and obviously I won. They were both tied at Z, looking for Z, and they found it. And they said, we're the champion of Highway 75. We all want to be champions, don't we? I want to be a champion. In fact, so much that we're going to play a little song for you today. Freddie Mercury did this in 1978. Listen, I love that song. Actually, I don't like that song. I was never a Queen fan. Patty and I grew up a little earlier than that. That was 1977. We were hard rock and rollers. We were listening to the Cream, and Jefferson Starship, Jefferson Airplane, The Doors, Rolling Stones. That was our, this was really not our favorite song, but it was appropriate for the day, appropriate for this message, so I'm going to accept it. And I don't really like playing secular songs in church, but I thought, again, it was appropriate. I played it also because I want to encourage you to be a champion. My whole goal this morning is to build champions, to take us to another level, to take us to a place where we're the winners. Not of this world, but we're winners in heaven. Not like the song said, of this world. You could be a winner of this world and lose heaven. Are you aware of that? You could be the greatest person in the world, but never enter into the kingdom of heaven. And that's not my goal today. I want to encourage you to be a champion. I want to encourage you when we hear this song, champion. But the truth is, not all of us are going to be champions. That's a sad fact. That's a dark fact in our lives, in a church, that lots of us will not be a champion. The other truth is we all want to be a champion. I don't think anybody is ever inspired to be a loser. I don't think anybody ever grew up and said, you know, I'm just going to be mediocre. Oh, you might find contentment in that, but I don't think that's your goal. I think you and I want to be champions. And sometimes in our mind, we are champions. Sometimes in our lifestyle, we feel like we're champions. I feel like I'm a champion of a father, of a large family, but yet when I look at it, I got some knucklehead kids that don't speak to me. So maybe I'm not a champion as a father. Maybe I'm not a champion as a grandparent, though all our grandchildren seem to love us. You might feel that you're a champion at your job until there's a promotion and they overlook you. You may feel that you're a champion in your sports until you lose the final game of the season. Championship takes training. Championship takes a sense of energy and desire that most people don't want to do. No basketball player trains to lose. They all train to win. It is built in us to win. That's why we are competitive. I believe those that are not competitive, they got tired of losing and you gave up. Can I tell you? Don't give up. Keep playing the game. The Apostle Paul talks about winning in the previous chapter, the one that Tommy did last week. I want to read just a couple of verses out of chapter 9. This is out of the New Living Translation. Verse 24. Don't you realize that in a race everybody runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. Verse 26. So I run with purpose with every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself be disqualified. That last line is, I could tell you how to do it, but if I don't do it, shame on me. Do you want to be a champion? That's the question I present to you today. Do you want to be a champion? What examples do we have? Let's continue with this series of chapter 10, verse 1, where Tommy left off. I got to put my glasses on because this is small print here. I have not championed eyesight. And these glasses are filthy. I think I'll try to read it without it. I'll just get close. Moreover, brethren, I don't want you to be unaware that all your fathers were under the cloud and passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses, into the cloud, and into the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food. They all drank the same spiritual drink. They drank from that spiritual rock that followed them. We'll get on that in a moment. That rock was Christ. And verse 5 says this, but with most of them, God was not well pleased. Can I read that again? With most of them, not just some of them, not a few of them, but most of them, God was not pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. They all had an equal opportunity. They all walked through the Red Sea with Moses. They all ate manna that fell from the heavens every night, and they picked it up, and they had more than enough to satisfy them and nourish them. It wasn't just flour. It was spiritual bread that gave them all the nutrients and all the things that they needed in their body. And that rock that Moses struck with his rod, and rock and water came out of that rock, this blows my mind. Where they picked up and followed the cloud, which they talked about being baptized in the cloud during the day and the fire, a tower of fire at night, that rock followed them. I'd want to get my picture next to that rock. I would stand by that rock every day and say, take my picture. I'm hanging out with Jesus, the rock. And they didn't know Jesus then, but hindsight. They all had the same opportunity. They all were following the same God. They were all following Moses. They were all following the same law. But most of them, God was not pleased. Oh, they could say, I got a picture with the rock. They could show a dinner set out with plates with manna on it. And enough for seconds. They could talk about the Red Sea and where they saw the Pharaoh and all his chariots washed away in a moment's notice when the sea closed up on them. The sea that spread open for them and closed down on their enemy. But with all those miracles and all that daily contact with the God the Father, all that contact with the Moses, the leader who heard from God, they still chose not to practice the things they learned. Time out for a moment. It's not easy to do practice. I really can't speak by experience. I never played sports. I never played football. I never played basketball. I didn't play soccer. Didn't fence. Didn't box. Didn't play tennis. I still don't play tennis. I don't play the old man game. What do they call it? What do they call it? Pickleball. Yeah, I don't play that. I don't know what practice is. But I have an opportunity, I just don't take it. And I see this in the church. Patty and I got saved in 1979. I think that's like 46 years ago. Most of you weren't even born. And we notice this, and not because of our leadership, and not because we pastor great churches. No, I see it in my brothers and sisters so often. We claim and raise the flag of Jesus. There's no condemnation today. Can I come to a commercial? No condemnation. Just a warning. Just a spur you on, a cattle prod you. Have you ever been hit by a cattle prod? I don't want to use that on you. But nevertheless, this message is for that purpose and that purpose alone. We all have equal opportunity. But what are we doing with it? Verse 6 says this, Paul writing, he says, and now these things, I've got to get a little closer, and now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lust. We need to learn from our failures. Do you want to be a champion? Boxers study their opponents. They watch films. They put in slow motion. Patty and I were fans of Cassius Clay and Muhammad Ali, same guy. We were fans. We used to watch them fight all the time. I never missed a fight. Patty never missed a fight. She missed the last one. She'd watch it at home. I went to Lake Tahoe and Reno and watched it at one of the casinos on the giant screen when he fought Larry Holmes for his last fight. Patty and I would, as a young couple, married, we'd push all our furniture away out of the living room and line up the walls, and we'd sit on the edge of the couch and watch 3 minutes of boxing, watching the rope-a-dope, watching his feet shuffle, watching all those great moves that he had. And then during the one-minute break, while they went back to the corners, Patty and I would get in spar. Did you see that spit? We would spar, not that time. We would spar, and Patty would punch me in the side, get me laughing and fall on the ground. She'd jump on me and just beat me. Just beat me. Patty looks like she's quite the lady. She is quite the lady. She looks gentle and she looks sweet, but don't cross her. You know, a good pastor never talks about their wife in a negative thing from the pulpit. I never learned that, and I didn't teach Tommy that. I apologize for Susie and to Patty right now. You're welcome. Thank you, Patty. But saying that, this girl knew how to fight. That's way before Jesus. So there was times we'd go to a party, and I'd be standing up against the fireplace, turn around, and Patty's beating on somebody, you know? She was just, that was a long time ago. She's a changed woman. She's been transformed. She's been bought by the blood of Jesus, like we talked about today, and now her heart is where Jesus lives, and she keeps her fist in her purse in my back pocket. Yeah. Boxers look at other boxers and learn how to fight. Look for their weakness. When they make a jab, do they drop their right hand? This is what they're looking for. When they come to the Super Bowl, don't you know that both of those teams are competing for the Super Bowl, are spending those 2 weeks, those 3 weeks, studying the other team's whereabouts? Oh, they still practice, but most of the time it's looking for a weakness, looking for a hole to run through, looking how to get into that, sack that quarterback. They want to know their opponents. They need to know the battle that they're of their enemy. Do you want to be a champion? If you want to be a champion, you need to know your enemy. It says this in 1 Peter 5 and 8. It says, be sober, well-balanced, and self-disciplined. I hate that word, discipline. You could tell I hate it. Look at me. I couldn't tuck my shirt in today because my shirt sticks way over my belt. I'm not disciplined. Be alert and cautious at all times, that enemy of yours. That's what he says in this translation. That enemy of yours, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, fiercely hungry, seeking someone to devour. If you want to be a champion, you can't chase the lust of your flesh that we saw that those that did in the desert. And you need to know your enemy. You need to know the voice of God, which is contrary to the voice of your flesh and Satan. I'm going to use that word because that's what Paul used in that verse, Satan. A real person, a real thing, a real enemy of your soul. Not some mystical thing that somebody made up. And devouring you is not eating you like with his teeth. It said fiercely hungry, hungry for your soul, hungry for your destruction, hungry for your failures. Paul continues in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 7th verse. And I do not become idolaters, as some of them. As it was written, some of the people sat down and they ate and drank, and they rose up and played, or partied. Nor let us commit sexual immorality. Gosh, help me, Jesus. I need my glasses. Nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000. Perished or fell. 23,000. This happened when Moses went on the mount to get the Ten Commandments. Joshua was about halfway up, and Moses is up there a little longer than these Israelites liked, and they felt that Moses wasn't coming back. He might have been like Enoch had taken up into heaven. He might have died on the mountain. And they just said, you know what? I'm tired of waiting. And they took their gold earrings and their bracelets and they threw it into a fire and they molded a golden calf and they had a party, literally an orgy, as they worshiped this golden image. Moses comes back down and he could hear the noise, and Joshua says, "It sounds like war." And they got down there and saw this debauchery going on. Because they couldn't wait. They couldn't stand sitting still for a few weeks, less than 40 days. They couldn't stand it. So they just gave up so easily. They didn't recognize their enemy being themselves, their lustful flesh, the immorality that Paul says, "You got to stop, you got to stop." Tommy's hit it the last couple weeks. And as he reads through 1 Corinthians, he keeps saying, "Stay away from sexual immorality." But they continued, and 23,000 died that day. Remember what he said? Only a few made it. The rest were scattered among the desert. These 23 were part of that scattering, 23,000 among the desert. You ever hear somebody say they don't play? Can I just say that about our Father? He don't play. Oh, yeah, God is merciful. He has mercy for us. He has grace for us. But he don't play. He cares enough for you that you won't perish. He wrote this, and Paul says in the next verse we're going to read, he said he wrote this for us today, for the age to come, and we're in that age to come. He wrote it as examples for us. See, I believe God is still looking for champions. We go back in 1 Samuel, we see the champions, David's champions, his mighty men, crazy guys, right? A guy stood in a lentil field by himself, and he killed 3,000 Philistines so much he fought that he couldn't open his fingers off the sword. They were like welded to the handle. Another guy killed 800 people in one day, maybe 600. Let's say 600. 600 people in one day. Who does that? Three of David's mighty men. David said, "Man, I wish I had a drink of water down there with Saul and the army out of that well of Bethlehem." And the three guys, they didn't consult David. They just said, "Let's go get our king some water." And they walked into the enemy's camp. I can picture two of them swinging their swords and killing people. One guy's digging out water out of the well. And they bring it back to David. Crazy acts. Mighty men, champions. The story goes, David ended up pouring the water out. He says, I didn't know you were going to do that. I can't drink this water. You risked your life for it. How about the guy who falls down into a snowy pit only to look around and there's a lion in it, and he kills a lion? These are real champions. Oh, those are champions of war. Maybe not of faith, but of war, but they had loyalty. They were loyal to the king. They were loyal to do whatever David asked. They were willing to lay down their life, no matter what it cost them. Where's the champions today? Willing to lay down your life. Willing to stand on truth, even if it costs your life. Some saw that a week ago. Willing to obey. That's what these giants of the faith did. They were willing to obey. Oh, they would have waited more than 40 days. In fact, some of the apostles later on who became the giants and the champions waited over 40 years for the return of Christ. With one thing in mind, I can't let my friends and my family and my new acquaintance perish. I got to tell them the truth. More eager about saving the souls than becoming a friend. More eager to offend them if that's what it took, rather than to please them and skip on the truth. Champions. The golden calf. What blows my mind about that golden calf, just less than 40 days earlier, they crossed the Red Sea. Come on, help me here. They crossed the Red Sea. 2+ million people walked on dry land as the sea was split in these waves on both sides. And Pharaoh chases after them after that cloud lets them go through. And the waves came crashing down on them. And every one of Pharaoh's army died in that sea. This is less than 2 months, less than 40 days. They forgot what they saw. They forgot the authority and the power of the God that led them out of Egypt. They forgot about the manta. They forgot about the rock that was in camp with them, pouring out water. And they decide to set those things aside and serve this flesh. These are written for us as examples, not to condemn us. Listen to me. This is not a condemnation. Paul, I'm reading his scriptures. I'm reading what he wrote and applying it today because he says it's written for us today. Just read it. Let me just not quote it. Let me read it. If I get the right, I'm so sorry about my glasses. I should have cleaned them. I'd spit on them and wipe them on my shirt with you, but no, I'm not going to do that. Verse 9. And let us not tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. They grumbled at him. They lied to him or lied about Moses. In Numbers 21, God said, serpents in the wilderness, and a multitude died. Some of those again, those that were scattered among the wilderness. Verse 10, nor complain, help me, Jesus, as some of them are complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. This is where I get to, verse 11. Now all these things that happen to them as examples, and they are written for our warning, upon whom the end of the age have come. Paul was so ready for the return of Christ. He said, this is the end. This is the age. Let's not play this. Because I see that my God doesn't play. I see my God is real when it comes to disobedience. I see my God is real when you say one thing and live out another. One of my son-in-law works in a place, and I'm just going to tell his story real quick. He had one of his employees said he was born again, got saved, and was serving Christ. And a little bit later, he was talking with some other people in a group, and he said, yeah, it brought up that he was living with his girlfriend, and having sex with his girlfriend. And my son-in-law was unashamed. And he said it among his peers. He said, you just told me you were a Christian. You just told me that you're a Christian. And now you're telling us all that you're shacking with your girl? He says, how does that work? We could wave a flag and never salute it. We could raise a standard and not live under it. It's a warning, especially for the end of the age. I hope not, but I'll probably pull my feet up and fall asleep before the coming Christ. I only have a handful of years. I hope not. But this still is the age, the coming of the age. I'm not one of the scoffers that says nothing's changed since our forefathers. Where's the return of our Christ? That's a scoffer. He made us a promise. He's not a man that he should lie. He is coming. Whether he comes today or tomorrow or next year or 10 years from now or even another millennium, I don't care. He's coming. He's long-suffering. Because he says this, he says that he long suffers, that hoping that none would perish, but all will come to the knowledge of him. Champions. I don't know if we're going to have champions in this group. Some of you probably are champions. Most champions don't wave their own flags. And if you're not waving a flag, you probably settle for that. I know real warriors that heroes that won crazy medals at wars, they never talk about them. Only hear from them, from their family members. We are the age to come. Us, me and you right here. This was written today so that you and I can pick up the flag, pick up the torch of a champion. Verse 12 says this, Therefore, let him who thinks he can stand take heed lest he falls. Don't say I could do it. Don't say I'm going to be one, lest you fall. Don't just say, make a commitment and do it. I, in my younger age, thought I was somebody, only to become a fool. Only to become a fool. I thought my worth was having a reputation of some sort. I can't eat on my reputation. I think I'm not much different than most of you here. I think you and I come from the same mold. I don't have any trophies because I never played sports. I go to my chopper shop, not my chopper shop, but I go to the chopper shop that works on my bike. And they got these giant trophies. I'm not kidding, like 5-foot trophies. They win everything. They went to a big bike show. I don't know why I'm talking about chaotic customs, but they went to a big bike show in Ohio, one of the best bike shows ever. They won all 5 categories. It's got a little bike shop about as big as this room. I said, man, you ought to be on TV, man. You ought to be doing one of those bike shows. He said, I don't want that attention. He reminds me of a giant in his industry, a champion who wins everything and cares less if anybody knows about it. My son-in-law didn't do that to impress anybody. In fact, if nothing else, he could have been criticized, could have been called names for calling this guy out. But he wanted to be obedient. It's hard to be corrected, is it not? I hate being corrected. Some of you know that. Some of you know that personally. I hate it. But it does me good when I am. I may not receive it immediately, but it does me good when I am. Champion. Can we know our enemy, Satan, who's seeking to devour you? He's hungry for you. He's really hungry for you. Little whisper in the ear, a little self-admiration. It's an easy way to find ourselves scattered among the desert. Do you want to win a crown? You can. Is it difficult? Only if it's on you to do it. In fact, I'm going to say that you can't do it on your own abilities. Christ has to intervene on your behalf. For it says this in the last verse we're going to read today. It says that no temptation has overtaken you except which is common to man. So when you're tempted, no matter what your temptation is, you're not the only one. Everyone has that same temptation. You know why? Because Satan isn't that smart. He tries to use the same trick over and over on us. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to men. But God is faithful. Would you say that with me? Faithful. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. What's that say? You can walk away from it. I won't make it so hard that you can't handle it. In fact, he even says this, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to stand and bear it. You want to win a crown? Learn from these examples. When temptation comes, look to the one who's given you a way out. Listen, if there's a fire, you're going to look for an escape sign on our building here. If there's room filled with smoke, you're going to find one of those red signs and you're going to run to it. Listen, it's no different. When there's smoke in your life and you feel that you're falling under the temptation, you feel that you're about to crash, run to the exit, and the exit is Jesus Christ. He's there for you. He's the one who says, I won't let you have more than you can bear. He's the one who says, I'll give you a way of escape. Run. I love Joseph when Pharaoh's wife came after him and tried to molest him, and he said, no, I can't sleep with you. You're my servant, my master's wife. And she ran and she grabbed his cloak. He ran. He was unjustly found guilty of something he didn't do. Rather than be rewarded, he was shamed. His reward did come, though. Can I tell you? Run, you might be shamed, but your reward is waiting for you. He won't forsake you. He will not leave you. This win the crown. Remember, there's no participation trophies. When I was teaching Little League to my kids, what do you call that, with the ball and the stick, you know? T-ball. I was their coach. Not everybody got a trophy in those days. The winner got the trophy. I don't know what's happened. I go with my grandkids, everybody gets a trophy. I said, what do you get a trophy for? I showed up. There's no showing up in the kingdom of God. Paul said, run the race to win the crown. There's no silver or bronze medal. You can't come in second. You can't come and get third. He's looking for people that want to go for first place. Win the crown. This go hard. This go hard. I want to pray for him in a moment. I'm going to have Evelyn come up. I'm going to use Tom's saying, I'm going to land here. If he was here and I was there and he said, we're going to land here, I'm going, tacos. That's what I would have been thinking, tacos. We have a baby dedication, though, immediately after service as well, so please be a part of that. Those tacos, you're not going to run out. But I want us to go hard. I don't want a bunch of people to say, well, I showed up. I'm participating. I go to prayer meetings on Friday and fast on the last Friday of the month with Pastor Tommy and the church. Participation is good. But without the willing to win, it's a waste of your time. I see champions out here. I know a lot of you. I've seen your exploits and things that you've done. I've heard your words, your confession of faith. I've seen you live out those things that convict you. Some of you I've seen run from evil, turn your eyes, and shun those things that would offend you or offend Christ. Not pointing them out. No need to. They didn't do it to win your crown or win your praise. They did it because they learned examples. Don't give up. Wait 40 days for Moses to come back off that mountain. Wait a lifetime for his return. Always thinking, maybe it's today. Maybe it's today. Holding fast to those truths. Forsaking these things of this world and clinging to the Christ. Mary Magdalene at the tomb, she didn't grab his neck and kiss his face. She fell at his feet. She knew who he was and who she was. Can we grab his feet? Somebody says, how are you going to recognize Jesus when you see him in heaven? I said, I hope I recognize his ankles and his feet. I hope that's what I recognize. Because I think real champions don't stand and wave their crown. I think they throw their crowns and find themselves at the feet of Jesus. I think I read that in Revelation. I think I read that. And for my champions and for my wannabe champions, when you win the crown, you remember you only were able because he intervened on your behalf. He gave you a way of escape that you could flee the fire and the teeth of the one who wants to devour you. I'm going to close with two questions today. I want to encourage you, first of all, go hard. Life is fleeting. It passes. Paul says it's like a vapor. Here for a moment. Don't waste the moment. Don't waste the day. Buried a friend of some friends of mine in here yesterday. Gone. Life is over. What you do today matters. What you choose to do today matters. And I want to give you an opportunity to make a choice. You don't have to. You do whatever you want. You can say perish in the desert doesn't sound bad. Christianity is hard to walk out. And it's not for sissies. Can I say this? I know what a sissy. I've been a sissy. I think I'm hard, but I've been a sissy. I know what sissies are. It's not for sissies. It takes real men and women to be a champion, to run to face the adversities that come your way. I'm tempted. I'm tempted. I'm tempted. I'm not going to look. I'm not going to look. I'm not going to look. It's not just men anymore. It's men and women that have wandering eyes. It says this. I'm going to give you a scripture that you could hang on to. Job 31:1 says, I made a covenant with my eye not to look upon another woman. Let's make covenants with our eyes. Let's make covenants with our mouths, with our mind, and with our flesh. Won't you stand with me? If you've been hoping for a medal of participation, or settling for second or third, a silver or a bronze medal, and today you came to a realization that it's worth fighting for a gold medal. It's worth fighting for the best prize. It's worth fighting to win that crown, to train your body, to discipline yourself, to go into those deep trainings and recognize who your enemy is and fighting him. Like the guy who fell in the pit and killed a lion, or the guy who stood in that lentil field and killed 300. That you're willing to fight the fight. In fact, can I even push you a little further? Don't wait for the fight to come to you. You go to the fight and win. If that's you this morning, would you just bow your heads? All of us bow our heads, close our eyes. This isn't for anybody, but maybe one or two or three of you, maybe four of you, who knows? If you're in this room and you heard this message and you're going, you know what, Pastor Paul, it's not about you, Pastor Paul, but I feel the Holy Spirit speaking to me. I want to stand up. I want to stand up. I don't want to run anymore. I don't want to just let somebody else do it. I want to fight for the prize. I want to fight for the crown. I don't want second place. I don't want third place. I don't want a participation trophy. I want the real trophy. If that's you today and you just say, Pastor Paul, pray for me. I want strength to be a real champ. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up with me? Thank you. God bless you guys. Oh, God bless you. God bless you. You know, this brings great joy to the kingdom of heaven. Do you know God's looking down at you and he says, yes, I have more of those that want to be champions today. Come on. He's saying, hey, I got some people signing up on my team. They're going to recognize and they're going to be champions. They're going to win because I'm going to guide them. I'm going to lead them. And they're going to say yes to their manager of this team. You put your hands down. That is great, God. I got to tell you, that is great. But I think there's something greater is going to about take place in the next moment. I think something greater is going to happen. I think some are going to leave the losing team and come to the winning team. And I say that to ask you this question. If you've never given your life to Jesus, never, and it's possible, I waited a lot of years. Or maybe you did serve him at one time and you chose to walk away, or circumstances tricked you, or the one who wanted to devour you got a bite out of you. And you say, it's time to come home. I want to give both those groups, first time coming to Christ or those that are backslidden. If you're backslidden, you know what that means. And if you're saying in your heart, you're feeling, God, I can't stand this anymore. I got to come back. I got to join this thing called Christianity. If that's you today, nobody's looking around. I'm not going to call you out. I just want to pray with you right where you're at. If that's you, would you lift your hand up at this moment? Thank you. Thank you. Any others? Just lift your hand. Say, I want to accept Christ today. So often we rush through this. I'm just going to wait like 10, 15 more seconds in case somebody else was praying. I wish that man would be quiet because you're fighting this temptation not to raise your hand. If that's you, would you slip your hand up with these others? Okay. Hey, I want you to look at me. Look at me, all of you. All of you, look at me. We do this every week. We do this every week. The Bible says when one comes to Christ, all heaven stops and angels look with awe and heaven celebrates. Can we just show those who raised their hand today, this celebration is going on in heaven for them today? Come on, let's give it a shout out.